Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. What do you think of when you hear the term public health? Is it food and water safety? The environment? How about vaccines and infectious diseases? Well, it's really all of those things. As the science of health and medicine evolves, public health departments have taken on a bigger role in helping us set and maintain health standards, including metrics that haven't traditionally been thought of as being part of healthcare. My guest today, Bruce Dart, is executive director of the Tulsa Health Department, the tax-supported agency that promotes and protects our health in Tulsa, the city, county, and beyond. Dr. Dart started at the agency in 2010 and has made it a mission to make Tulsa the healthiest county in the country within 10 years. He also serves as a visiting associate professor in the University of Oklahoma's College of Public Health. Bruce Dart, executive director of the Tulsa Health Department, is my guest today on Medical Monday here on Studio Tulsa. Bruce Dart, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Welcome to the program. I just want to start by asking you about the Tulsa Health Department, which you've been at the helm of for more than 5 years now. When we think about public health departments, what I think of in sort of a cliched sense is food safety, water safety, public health in terms of vaccinations and things like that, but infectious disease outbreaks. But really, you do so much more is what I've learned. So give us the scope and size of your mission. What is your mission?
Thank you, John. It's really great to be here and honored to be asked. And, you know, we're very proud of what Tulsa Health Department does because we provide an array of services, which people find confusing. And that's why I think there's so much confusion around what does the health department do, because our department does 34 different things. We do so many different things so that we, in some way, every single day, we touch every Tulsan or every citizen who lives in Tulsa County. And we do through prevention, we do through intervention, we do it through protect them by inspecting restaurants and daycares, with all the environmental services you hear about, mosquito interventions, and we serve babies and children. I mean, we serve everyone. And so when we talk about what public health does, because we do so many different things, what I talk about is that our purpose is to improve your health and well-being or your quality of life. But in some way, we're going to touch every Tulsan every day, and which is what I love about our department.
So give us some like visual, if you can, even though I know this is radio, but like how big is the agency? I mean, how many employees, that type of thing?
So we've got about 340 full and part-time employees, about a $28 million budget. We're really responsive and transparent to the taxpayers, and half our budget is property tax. We have a mill levy. The other half is an array of grants and fees. We get federal dollars as well as not too many state dollars, but some. And we're constantly looking for ways to change our budget so we're not totally dependent on one funding source. And we have 8 locations throughout Tulsa County. We have 3 what we call large regional centers, which are situated in different parts of our county so that we're accessible to everyone at all different times, and smaller centers. So we want to make sure that we are available and accessible. And so we locate throughout the county, and there's not a day goes by where our facilities aren't utilized and really, in some cases, filled to capacity once the day starts to the end of the day.
Well, I want to talk about some of these sort of traditional elements of public health. So you mentioned food safety, like restaurant inspections. Mm. So I guess how often do restaurants in Tulsa County get inspected?
You know, I think more often than people really understand, because we inspect on a risk basis. So if there's a full-service restaurant and they do lots of food prep and foods that could cause illness, we're there at least 4 times a year. If there's less risk, we're there 3 times a year, less risk 2 times a year, and 1 time a year. So we inspect based on possible risk and risk of foodborne outbreak. So our larger facilities, we're all in 4 times a year. Our smaller ones who do less food preparation, we're in just once a year. But we do thousands and thousands of inspections every year. And if you go, we release an annual report every year, which actually gives you the total numbers. But we do inspections, we do re-inspections, we do complaints. So we're in there, we're in the food and drink industry, we're actually quite visible. And, you know, public health visibility has, I think, always been the issue. At one time, we used to market public health as the invisible shield that protects your community, which was probably the dumbest marketing plan since New Coke. But we've learned that if we're going to entice or create value in the community, we have to promote visibility. And I think that's something that we do. And one of the ways we do that is through our restaurant inspections, because the food industry is very aware. And we have great partnerships in the food industry here in Tulsa.
Okay, so another big one that I think listeners tend to think of with public health, and this is something that's been in the news a lot lately with in terms of the Zika virus, for example, mm-hmm. which we have not really had. We've had, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a few reported cases in Oklahoma, but we're not thought of certainly to be an endemic area where we have it's mostly migration. It's that is people who've traveled to Zika endemic areas who've sort of come back to Oklahoma. But we think about infection outbreaks, so Zika virus being a sort of a current one that's in the news, but we've had hepatitis C outbreaks in the past. Of course, West Nile virus is another mosquito-borne illness. Tell us a little bit about how you prepare for some of these things, because they tend to get ramped up very quickly and create a lot of, somewhat a degree of panic.
There is no Zika virus in this country, much less Oklahoma, because we get lots of calls. And you're right. The only cases we've had are people who have traveled to endemic areas like South America and have been exposed and brought it back. So we have an emergency preparedness section where we train and prepare for mass response to either natural or man-made disasters, of which the hepatitis C outbreak was a great response that the public might remember that we addressed. But we're through emergency preparedness, through our epidemiology, we'll reduce surveillance. So we actually detect possible outbreaks in the community before they really get ramped up and get inbred in the community. Part of our responsibility as we serve the public is to respond to emergencies. Those emergencies could be a variety, but infectious disease is one of those. So, and we, our goal is to find the source and stop the spread. And our emergency preparedness department, our infectious diseases, our epidemiology department, they work together to do all of that.
And that's coordinated with sort of state and federal officials as well? Like
exactly. We have a great relationship with our state health department, our state epidemiologists. You might recall we had the possible Ebola case here in Tulsa almost 2 years ago. Worked very closely with state, with CDC, with officials from OSU, because that's where the patient was transferred. And the beauty of public health is that we build relationships with everyone so that when an emergency occurs, it's much easier to respond when a relationship is there. So we can do the hard stuff right away without having to build trust and build a relationship and then do the response. So we're very proactive. But we have lots of help. We don't do anything in isolation. And usually when we respond, I'll be honest, it's a community response. It's not just the health department, but we practice and we train. It's always, we train for the worst and hope for the best. And we hope that these things never happen. But, they do. We are situated with our relationships with the state and the county and the community, I think allows us to respond and be successful when we need to be successful and when it's important that we be successful.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Bruce Dart. He's the executive director of the Tulsa Health Department, and he oversees a large agency that helps protect and promote the health of the public for Tulsa City and County and surrounding region. And Bruce Dart, I wanted to shift gears a little bit. You, last week in the Tulsa World, there was a really nice article about, you were a little bit featured there on one of the back pages, but Reggie Ivey, who's your chief operating officer, was, I think it was on the front of the local section, talking about some new initiatives or new directions really for the Tulsa Health Department. And one of the things that was mentioned was this concept that we've talked a little bit of before on this program in various guises, but social determinants of health, and that is, we talked at the outset of this interview about, some of the more traditional elements of public health being food safety and emergency preparedness for infection control. But tell us a little bit more about your thinking and guidance to your department on social determinants of health. First, remind us what you mean by that.
There's so many factors that impact people's ability to be healthy. And we know in Tulsa at one point we had huge issues around access to care and North Tulsa, which is our most disparate part of our community. And the community really came together and rallied behind that and have done great work to increase access to health care and health services in the part of our community where our most vulnerable and at-risk populations live. But we found that in the larger context, if people are really going to be healthy, only about 20% of their ability to be healthy depends on access to health care. And there's other factors that impact your ability to be healthy, whether it be you, your neighborhood, your family. And those are what we call our social determinants, our social factors. Things like education or lack of education, which usually leads to poverty, a lack of ability to get a job and have a job that pays for insurance that gives you access to health care. So we're talking education, poverty, transportation, housing, things like crime. So we as a community, if we're going to truly impact health status across Tulsa, not just in North Tulsa, we have to address as a community those social factors that impact your ability to be healthy. We have to work with education, ensure that every child in Tulsa County has a high school degree and graduates from high school and is ready for either post-secondary or secondary school or BoTech or whatever they choose. We have got to do something about poverty, you know, and in Tulsa County, some zip codes, if you're born in a zip code and you live in this zip code, you will probably live 10 years less than other zip codes in Tulsa County that doesn't have the social factors that your zip code has. And that's unacceptable. No one will, I think, argue with that and disagree with that. And now, but we have to find a way to allow every person and every baby born in Tulsa County to have the same set of possibilities to their life.
How do you do that is the question. I mean, maybe that is the question you're also asking. I love that you're focusing on it, but a skeptic might listen to this interview and say, well, that's great. That's all well and good, but isn't giving an education, you know, albeit there are many challenges to that in Oklahoma, but how can the health department make sure that everyone gets a high school education or is ready for higher education or ready for college? I mean, how can you directly intervene, or is it more of an indirect kind of influence and collaborative effort?
I still wish I could just wave the magic wand, but you know we can't do that. And you're absolutely right. The health department doesn't do it, and I don't want to promote that we would function in that capacity. But in order for any community to be at a certain health status and to be healthy, it takes a community effort. And that's really what I was pointing towards, is that we have to work with our, you know, we have 14 school districts in Tulsa County. We have to work with the superintendents of all the school districts and engage with these systems to ensure that every child, whatever barriers exist that prevent children from going to middle school, going to high school, and graduating from high school, we're part of the solution as a community, not just the health department. I think part of our job is to make these issues visible and have a specific call to action so the community knows that these are issues, and because many people, I think, aren't aware of some of the health disparities that exist in our county and our community. And so while we can't be the, I think, the solution, we can, I think, create partnerships with entities that really have that responsibility or function to serve that purpose. And we know the educational system is working so hard in Tulsa County, and any help that we as a community can give them will be beneficial to all.
So is it more of a redirect away from kind of the traditional basics of public health, or is it sort of a broadening of the mission, as it were, a new understanding? And does that come from really more of the academic leadership or the funding mechanisms? Is that part of it?
You know, I think it's a realization that our community is changing, and the needs evolve, and the needs change. Public health, you know, turn of the century, our life expectancy was in the mid-40s, and it was all about infectious disease. And we've done so much to address infectious disease and increase life expectancy. And then the big problem in public health in the communities was chronic disease because of lifestyle and behavior and healthy choices. And we've had a lot of focus on interventions and tried to impact chronic disease. So I think the third evolution of public health now, and we're calling it public health 3.0, is that we have got to, as systems and as communities, respond to social factors that are barriers to people's ability to be healthy, which aren't necessarily interventions. But they're really planned. So we're right now in the process of creating our newest iteration of our community health improvement plan. Part of that plan, and we're really getting, and that's why I really appreciate this opportunity, because we need to engage the community and get help from neighborhoods and individuals and families and community organizations and partners to figure out how we as a community and within the context of our community health improvement plan interject socially determinant interventions so that we can impact these social factors that prevent families and neighborhoods from being healthy.
Okay, so really there is a huge promotional aspect to it. I mean, an awareness and an educational, I mean, that's important. And in fact, your appointment in the University of Oklahoma's College of Public Health is in health promotion, is it not, or health?
Health policy.
Sorry, health policy. Oh, my mistake. Okay, but there is a health promotion,
yes,
area. But so that's a lot of what the health department does.
Yes.
And so I've heard you speak before, and one of the areas you mentioned, neighborhoods, communities, But I wanted to ask you specifically about this, is you've talked a lot about faith-based communities, mm-hmm. and you've worked, you and folks in your department have worked pretty extensively with some of the community churches. What can you say about that?
I think we don't utilize those partnerships enough. They're such great access points for us, and to build those relationships with churches where people congregate and come together, and we have a captured audience, and we're going to go get them, and churches are so amazing that allow us to do that. And the more we work with the faith-based community, because churches have their own health initiatives as well. I mean, churches are very involved, and they have their own community. And part of their goal is to help their communities be healthy as well. And to partner with these church organizations and faith-based organizations that have like goals, and we find middle ground, and people actually can understand what we're trying to do as an agency to affect them individually, it builds that trust, and it really opens doors for us for greater access into the community, because part of our problem is getting access to people who need to be connected to services, need to understand what resources are available to them, and it's difficult for them to navigate the health and human service system in Tulsa County. One way we can do that is through the faith-based organizations, and we really appreciate their support and their allowing us into their facilities to talk to their congregations and build relationships with their congregations.
Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what's coming out in the community health plan? Is it when you roll it out, or is it sort of embargoed until it's released this fall?
You know, because we're still in the development phase. So a little background on it. So we build a plan based. We just recently completed our community health needs assessment, and you know, we're an accredited public health agency. We're the 19th department in the country to actually be accredited, and so because of accreditation, we have to do a community health needs assessment and a community health improvement plan every 3 years. So we've just recently completed our new community health needs assessment, and based on the information that we developed through the assessment, we'll go into the creation of our community health improvement plan. But what's new this year and with this iteration is that we're really having a focus on social determinants of health. We need to impact disparity. We need to impact health inequity in Tulsa County, because it exists and it's very real. So we have this background information that tells us what the issues are. Now we have to take all that information and develop an actionable and measurable plan that we can create metrics that allow us to on a yearly basis evaluate and see how we're doing to impact all these issues that were discovered in the assessment, and the impact disparity, which, as we know, will not be an easy thing, but it's time that we step up to that challenge.
So are there, in the new science or expanded role of looking at social determinants, what are some of the new metrics you'll be looking at or that you collect data on?
Yeah, and I said before, the topical or umbrella areas are education, poverty, transportation, food security, and we want to really focus on education, poverty, transportation, food security right now, because those are four of the biggest indicators. You know, we know we have issues around crime and those kind of things, and you know, I think at some point in Tulsa too, it's like we're, as we talk about disparity and inequity, we have to bring together population and cohorts that are directly affected by these issues and these circumstances. And it's going to be difficult, I think, to walk into a room and probably be a little uncomfortable, but I think we grow by being uncomfortable and going into rooms where we have difficult conversations around issues that hold people back. I mean, in addition to those indicators you've already mentioned, you know, we have to talk about racism and prejudice and be very honest about those things as factors that impact people's ability to have a certain level of quality of life that's measurable across all spectrums. I think one of our goals that we have to meet, or one of the things that people demand of us, is to open the doors and be a convener of organizations and communities to have these difficult conversations to determine what are we as a community going to do about this, and are we going to step up and say racism is just unacceptable in Tulsa County, and that's a tough conversation, but I think it's something that we know impacts people's ability to be healthy, and you know, that's why we want to go to the community and engage the community, because we don't have all the answers, but getting community input and organizational input from other partners will help us arrive, I think, someplace that we have a starting point, because you think about how large these issues are, and I think we all struggle with where we start, and I think the community can help us figure that out.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann. It's Medical Monday. My guest is Bruce Dart. He's Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department, and we're talking about the scope of the health department and actually some of its new mission, the social determinants of health. And before the ID there, Bruce, you were really touching on something big, which is, you know, really addressing how racism is something that can provide, I think, an undue amount of stress to individuals who feel to be essentially victims or objects of racism. Is that something we can measure, actually, those levels of stress? Or, I mean, I applaud the health department really for moving forward and trying to address some of these issues, because this is, you don't think of this as really in the kind of textbook proper realm of public health, but this is something that is obviously extraordinarily relevant right at this very moment during this interview, something we've been thinking about a lot in the last couple of weeks and months. I mean, so it's really just a set of conversations and really trying to bear some of those feelings. I mean, it's tough to develop interventions without, I think, appropriate facilitation, feedback, and probably, you know, some mental health guidance and community support.
And you just hit the nail right on the head, and I don't really know at this juncture if there's specific metrics, but we know that racism and oppression are huge stressors. And you're absolutely right when you talk about those stressors that prevent people from achieving a certain level of just happiness. I mean, you know, I go into meetings and I ask people, are you happy? You know, they look at me first like I'm nuts. And then when they get comfortable, they're like, no. And I'm like, well, let's talk about why. And those things always raise to the top. I mean, because they're stressed because of the things that we've talked about today. And it's impossible, I think, to lead a life that allows you to achieve every opportunity that's afforded you if you're so stressed that you can't see those opportunities. And I think that we have barriers that are thrown up, and whether they're institutional or unconscious, there's still barriers that exist that we all have to storm through. We have to break down. And a lot of the barriers are there because of things that have occurred over the course of many, many years and many, many decades. And it's a difficult topic to talk about. And, you know, I'm by no means an expert on these stressors, but I've met a great many people who live in these circumstances who have been very honest with me and have really made me think about quality of life and health and well-being in ways that I've never thought of before. And if we're really going to be impactful and make a difference in people's lives, we've got to respond to these stressors, and we've got to call attention to it. And whether it's uncomfortable or not, I think that has to become part of our mission. And we have great people in this community, tremendous people here who care a great deal. And if we can get everybody caring about some things and get a lot of different people moving in one direction, because I think I've told you before, my biggest challenge is getting people moving in the same direction, we might be able to achieve some finality or some benefit around some of these issues that are holding our entire community back from being successful. Because as I've told you, in 10 years, our goal is to be the healthiest county in the country. And so we have to respond to these huge issues that prevent our county from being healthy, and unfortunately, that's one of those.
I mean, that's a tall order. Healthiest county in the country, but why not aim high? That's excellent, Bruce. You've been here 5.5 years. You were previously in Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was.
So, how long were you there? And you were health department director there as well.
I was the had a similar same position in Lincoln, Nebraska. I was director there of the Lincoln Lancaster County Health Department. I'm a military brat who grew up everywhere, this country and Europe and Alaska, Hawaii, and went to. I was a diver in high school, so I ended up going to college in Missouri on a diving scholarship. And
wow!
And about that time, my parents retired from military and moved to Nebraska. So when I graduated from high school or college, excuse me, I ended up in Nebraska and started my public health career in Nebraska, and it's taken me to Nebraska, Missouri, and now Oklahoma.
And what do you think it was that led you from diving into public health? No, I'm just kidding. There's no coincidence there. But what was it that, I guess, early in life got you interested in it, public health as a field?
You know, I think I'm one of those, you know, God watches over a lot of people. And I think I'm one of those blessed people that God just kind of pushed in the direction because I didn't have the intuitive self to do it. And I fell into public health. And I started my career as a microbiologist in a laboratory of the county health department in Omaha, Douglas County. And from there, I became a health inspector. And from there, I went into epidemiology and statistics and infectious disease and became a grant writer and grants management and administrator and then up into a health director and executive director. And so I had my career was a pathway to sampling many different aspects of public health and growing and learning all these different components that make up the public health field that I think gave me the ability to have a little broader perspective and how public health functions in a community and how our organization functions. So I've been very fortunate and very blessed in my career and very lucky, actually.
I did not know that about your background. It's really interesting. You're really a company man. I mean, you literally worked your way up kind of through the entire organization. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea you did microbiology. So you spent a number of years just looking through microscopes.
Yes, I did.
And plating bacteria.
Yes, I did. And, you know, I don't sit still very well, so that wasn't a great career choice for me. The work is wonderful, but you're doing it's very repetitive and it's extremely important work. But when I became a health inspector and out inspecting restaurants and doing pool inspections and when septics and wells and sewers, you're out and you're about and you're dealing with people and you're engaging people. I'm like, you know, this is a great career. We get to help people and you know, they don't know. We need to change that. But what I love about it, and you figured out that in some way every day you're impactful. And you probably never know how impactful you are, just families, but just the knowledge that I get to make a difference in someone's life today gets you going every single day. And, you know, I ask all the team members who work at Tulsa Health Department to ask themselves, did you do your best today? And if they don't, then I ask them the next morning, I want you to beat yesterday. And I think we're trying to do that now because I think our the public in our jurisdiction, people who live here, deserve our best every day.
Well, it's interesting how you, before you talk the talk, you really walk the walk right up the chain of command there. Well, Bruce Dart, thank you so much for being here. It's been great talking to you.
What a pleasure. I appreciate being asked.
Bruce Dart is the executive director of the Tulsa Health Department, and we'll be on the lookout for the community health plan coming out this fall. Bruce Dart is executive director of the Tulsa Health Department. Well, that's our show for today. Medical Monday on Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. To go back and hear full episodes of our program or catch one you might have missed, find them on our website, studiotulsa.org. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.